If you couldn't feel the anointing in that, you need some prayer. That's just absolutely soul penetrating deep down to my bones, into my sinews. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks, brother and sister Donna and her cohort, Shannon. Thank you so much for your efforts and your time. And that was just gorgeous, isn't it right? Amen. I got a word for you tonight too, brother. Hallelujah. Not right now, but I got one. Welcome to the gathering. And I want you to know this is a safe place. This is a place where you can be yourself. You don't have to perform for anybody. You can just open up your heart and receive fellowship with one another. And the heavens are open tonight. And the Lord is pouring out his glory upon us. And I am very, very grateful for it and have absolute eager expectation for it. Let me read your scripture. If I can find it. The Lord God has given me and you the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know to sustain with a word in him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens me. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we commit this time to you, Lord. God, our hearts are open. Do what you desire to do, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want to speak words of comfort and exhortation to one another, Lord. We say we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And God, we will convey those words that you give us and minister one to another. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. How many of you here have the gift of prophecy? You know you have the gift of prophecy. If you raise your hand, raise it up high. I want to see it real high if you would. Wow. Okay. Take a moment here. I've never done this before. Does anybody have a word for me? You can think about it. Let it mellow a little bit. All right. Maybe it'll come to you later. You got one?
Maybe.
Come on up. Maybe? Right now, I'll take a maybe.
I feel like you're coming into a new place, and you don't know exactly what, but the Lord is going to show you the way. I don't know if that's right, but that's what I felt.
Amen. That's exactly right on. Anybody else?
Be strong and courageous.
Okay. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Do I need to tape this?
Good shepherd, that's all.
Just good shepherd. Good shepherd, okay. All right, thank you. All right. Hallelujah. Feeling better already. I want to finish up on a message I started 2 or 3 weeks ago. And if you would, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And since I've started on this scripture and a whole lot prior to, this scripture will not let me go. I sleep with it every night. I'll read it again and again and again. And through this scripture, God has given me prophetic words for people, and he's given me more for people. And I use this chapter 9, 6, and verse 7. And I use this for my brother who called me the day before yesterday. And my brother came to the Lord many, many years ago. And somehow or another, he started backsliding. And he got a hold of some obsession. And that obsession is about aliens. To the point where he could not hear the truth. I mean, he was convinced, he was just really obsessed with it. I've had so many conversations with him. And I just could not break that shell that had his mind. until this scripture came along. With this scripture, particularly verse 7, I obliterated by the Spirit of God his obsession with aliens. And it was really, I was in Sam's, and he called, and so I sat down on one of their sofas there and started talking to him. We started talking about computers. He's a real technical kind of guy like I am. And then I got into this somehow, some way. And as I sat there was a gentleman that was sitting in another one of the couches that or chairs that was on sale, about just maybe 12 feet from me. And I sat there for 30 minutes, and the Lord gave me the word, like I said, with this scripture out of Isaiah 9, refuted that belief system that he had. And this man over here who was sitting to my right, he didn't move. Not only was I speaking to my brother, I was speaking to him. I mean, for 30 minutes, he sat there, and he acted like he was on his phone. But I knew he was eating up every single word of it, because I got into creation. I got into God's intent for us. So let's read this powerful, powerful scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over the kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And this last part is what I use to refute him. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. Now, let's read this again. Where it says here, a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders. I went over this. It's the government of God. And Saints, I want you to know something. When you find Christ, you are in the government of God. And really, this word kind of means the realm, the kingdom. And Jesus is our Lord, and he is our governor. And listen to this. The title here at the end says, he will be called the Prince of Peace. And then it goes on to say, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. And I'm here to tell you that the peace of God, as the Bible says, is beyond, the world doesn't know it, can't understand it. It's something that every believer absolutely needs to experience and should be experiencing, because it is part of the government of God. And in that government, there is peace. Now, let me ask you, do you see the governments in this world? I mean, do you see any peace in the governments of this world? Do you see any peace, really, in the government, even in this country? I mean, it started out good, and there were some bad spots and everything else. But overall, I mean, the Constitution, if you ever read the Constitution, it's a pretty fantastic document. If we would just live by it, I mean, it's really, really good. It was founded on the Word of God. And but our government has gotten bigger and bigger, and it's kind of getting a little out of control. And I don't think anybody disagree with that. But the government of God brings peace. And Jesus, as our Prince of Peace, I want you to know something, saints. In Revelation chapter 1, it starts out, John says, concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is part of the revelation of Jesus Christ, what I'm talking to you here about right now. And I want you to know, I've been in the kingdom a long time. I got saved in May of 1978. And all through the years, I understood about peace, the peace of God. I've read the scriptures. I know what they say. But for whatever reason, by the grace of God, it's like I have a deeper, there's like a revelation that's greater than I've ever had before. And that word revelation means a revealing. It's something that God has revealed. Now, in this and what I'm saying here, amongst believers, amongst the body of Christ, we should all be one because we're under the same government. And quite honestly, you need to identify with that government and the Prince of Peace and the increase of peace that follows with you being in that government. You know, someone asked me a couple of months ago, or maybe 3 or 4 months ago, really, 5 months ago, sitting there, you know, fellowship with a couple. And the brother was very patriotic, and he looked at me and said, "Brother, do you love your country?" I felt like I was on trial, by the way. I said, "Well, you know, kind of, sort of." I want to say, you know, yeah, it's a good country. It was a lot of freedoms and so forth. I want you to know this ain't my source. And there, I said, "Yeah, you know, I love my country, but there's a lot of things about it that I don't love. I don't love what's in our country. I don't know what's being tolerated. I don't know how in the world a free country like ours, based on the Bible, allows pornography on the air. Well, I just don't get it. I don't understand." And then human trafficking and all the other stuff that go. And then you got the LGBTQ, you know, mafia. You know, I mean, it's. But what it shows me there is that people just don't have peace. Now, hold your place here, and I want to show you something. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Because I'm going to show you something that God has shown me. Revelation, oh Lord, I don't know if I marked it. Revelation 7. Yeah, Revelation 7. And I'm going to show you what this, when you get a revelation of the peace of God and of the government of God, I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Let's look at verse chapter 7, verse 9. After this, behold, a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Now, at the end of verse 7 in Isaiah chapter 9, it talks about that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And if you, that word, I looked it up and everything else. There's some translation says the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. So in that passage there, it's what I'm reading. The Lord of hosts, he is the Lord, Jehovah, of the armies of heaven. Okay? And so right here is a glimpse, is a little kind of a small view of the host of heaven. Right here. It says it right here. Verse 11. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then all the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these?" Or one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and where they've come from?" He said, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white as the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now, this crowd, this great multitude that John is seeing, it particularly says this is a multitude, this is a great number of people, and this particular number of people have come out of the great tribulation. And, you know, there, I have a brother who passed away, went be with the Lord, others you have here. It's not talking about that particular, you know, assembly. It's talking particularly about these. But I want you to take note here what it says. It says that these are the ones that have come out from all the tribes of the world, from every tongue and every language, And I want to tell you, saints, most people, from the moment they cut the umbilical cord and you're born, people looking for a place to plug it back in. And it amazes me today, the number of people, and you can see it, who lack character, forget about godly character, but also who are lost. They don't know who they are. They have no identity. I mean, my God, there's college professors up there saying there are 72 different genders. You know, or, and you're asking some of these people, and they're, what, are you a woman? Well, I don't know. Well, what's a woman? Oh, I don't know. I mean, this is bizarre world stuff. I'm not kidding you. And this, I said, how can intelligent people, I mean, you know, you don't know if you're a man or a woman? And this one really gets me. I don't even know if I should go into this, but I know some people, well, how many children you got? Well, I've got three. One's a girl and two are pending. You got to admit, folks, this world's getting crazy. So, and as people, the Bible says in the last days, people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. All those are doctrines of demons, of just saying right there. And people are ate up with it. And I hate to say this, there's a large size of percentage of our population, I couldn't give you numbers, that are just ate up in this stuff. And really what's happening is that people are turning back to paganism. That's what's happening. And so the end result of all this, you turn away, when you walk away from the Lord, and you're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, you don't know who you are. These people don't know who they are. And I will tell you, when someone gets a hold of Jesus Christ and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a part of the government of the realm of God. And I want you to know, listen to me, this is my identity here. You can come, walk up to me and ask me, well, where are you from? You know, who's your people all? And so help me. In the days ahead, I'm going to tell people, you want to know about my tribe? Well, yeah, I'm of the tribe of the Lamb, of Judah. Amen. You get that? And the problem in America, and really throughout the world, is tribalism. I mean, people form these little groups. Like I said, people trying to find a place to plug back in, trying to be accepted by something and want to be identified with something, because, I mean, people just flat out don't know who they are. But when you get a hold of the Prince of Peace, he will put a peace deep down inside you and you will know who you are. Now, I don't care what your color your skin is. I can walk up to somebody and I don't even have to speak anything to them. I can sense the Spirit of God in them. I can see it on their face and I can tell that they're from the same tribe I'm from. Amen. You get me? And, you know, Hannah Hunter was here. I mean, she's a wonderful missionary over in Africa. And, you know, her Dan, thank you. It's good to have a young mind here. Thank you very much. And she was telling me, she says, you know, we're going to churches, and there's a lot of racism in the churches. I want you to know, I was astonished. I said, excuse me, say what? There's a lot of racism in the church. I says, well, I mean, that really blew me. How in the world can there be racism in the Church of Jesus Christ? Because for whatever reason, people really have gotten saved, but they don't have a revelation of who they are and what tribe they really are. They're of the line of Judah. That's the tribe they need to identify with. And that's what happens when the government of God gets inside of you. Now, I want you to know this revelation has emboldened me in my witnessing. I've witnessed to people in the past, but probably not as much as I should. Let me tell you, my calling card is the Prince of Peace. I had a customer today. I went to her home, 89 years old, and her husband's 90. Her name's Dee. I've been praying for her. She's all confused and got all these problems and all. She's, you know, she analyzes everything. So before I went there, the Lord told me, don't charge her anything. Do the work for nothing. So I fixed her computer and her printer and everything else. And she's laying, you know, and laying all this stuff on me. So I start talking to her. I said, Dee, let me tell you about the Prince of Peace. So I start talking to her. I said, listen, there's something that's intangible. Your mind ain't really going to comprehend. You're going to take my word for it. But when you find Christ Jesus, and I want to encourage you, listen, just get aside by yourself and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Give me peace, Lord. And she said, I will definitely think about that. And I found out there was some brother in the Lord who's from a church. And she said, he's from a Baptist church. I said, okay. And she says, no, but he's not from an Orthodox Baptist church. And I smiled then. And I'm believing God. So that's how I witness. Because people don't have peace. I want you to know something. You can have all the land in the world. You can have all the property. You can have millions of dollars in the bank. But if you have no peace, what good does it do you? And there are so many people like that. I don't care what your pedigree is. I don't care what your last name is. If you don't have peace, you don't have anything. And the Prince of Peace has come to give us deep, inward, satisfying peace. So therefore, I navigate by this peace. You know, I don't want to compartmentalize my Christianity. I don't want to apply Jesus to this little area of my life and depend on somebody else for something else. I let the peace of God be my guide. And you know something? Look, I want my spirit to be like a pond water that has no ripples. I mean, just absolutely serene. And if someone drops a little pebble there to disturb that peace, I want to feel it. So I make my decisions now, have for some time really, but I'm fine-tuning my transceiver by the peace of God. And listen to me, I promise you, if you will start kind of focusing in on it, recognize it, see that it's your right in the kingdom of God, in his government, that wherever you go, you are to have absolute peace and serenity. And the enemy will come to try to rob you of that peace and to keep you from enjoying, because I'm quite honestly, peace and joy are really your power base. You got to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. And really, you know, they kind of work together. If you got joy, you got peace. If you got peace, you have joy. So make your decisions. What did Jesus say? He said, the Spirit, when he comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth, not just in business, not just in going to the doctor. He will lead you, and he wants to speak to you, and but that peace lets you know of what is of him and what isn't. And if something is disturbing your peace, you just need to walk away from it. You know, if you need some legal help, you found this lawyer, and you go to him and you're sitting there, and he's telling you all this stuff and everything else, and you know, you're believing, you've got the government of God inside of you, and people say, well, you know, I can tell when people are lying. Really, can you? And if you don't have any peace, he starts telling you, get up and walk out. Amen? Amen. You follow me? You know, and really, this is kind of sacred ground where I'm going now. I mean, you know, this is really personal stuff. Some between you and the Lord. But I'm going to give you the general rule here. Even when you go to the doctor, he's a counselor. And by the way, when they say they're practicing medicine, they are definitely practicing it. Yeah. And they will tell, I mean, really, an honest doctor will tell you, we don't have it all figured out. It's a constantly evolving, you know, technology or knowledge base. But you can really save yourself some real problems. Listen to him, or any kind of healthcare professional. I mean, really give them respect and take heed. But don't violate your peace in the process. And, you know, we need to do this research. We need to do, I mean, you know, my cousin, like I said, I don't mean to be meddling here, but my cousin went to the physician about 8 years ago. And he had this lump in his throat. And he's a believer. I'm going to tell you, this guy, he is a believer. He lives holier than I do, I'll tell you that. My gosh. But, you know, the doctor said, look, we just looked at your scans and everything else. We need to admit you tomorrow and do emergency surgery. You've got a cancer in this your throat here, and we've got to start right away. And he, first of all, you're kind of shocked. And he said, well, look, he said, I have to think about it. and he says, what do you mean you have to think about it? Did you not hear what we just said? Well, yeah, I got to pray about it first. I really need to pray about it. And his name's Chris. Chris left that doctor's office. I mean, it's his life, you know. You have to make decisions for your life. I mean, you're the only one that's going to suffer the consequences, whatever they do to you or say to you. Amen? So, it's your life. And my cousin Chris did not have any cancer treatment or anything, and he's still alive today, 8 years later. And really, the only reason he didn't feel good about it, he didn't have a peace. And my brother who's alien obsessed, I've been working on him. And maybe I went too far. He went to his doctor, and she's a lady doctor and a cardiologist, and she said, well, I want to put you on this particular prescription drug. And he said, well, why do I need that? I mean, my numbers here are such and such and such. And she kind of resented the fact he was arguing with it. And she finally said, well, look, if you're not going to listen to me, why are you coming to me? And I thought to myself, boy, if I had been there. I said, look, you either want to go and suffer the consequences than I am. Now, get me wrong. Listen to me. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you, go to your doctor, for heaven's sakes. I mean, they're wonderful people out there. You know, our bodies need help. It's body, soul, and spirit. I need all the help I can get. But don't let, if anything disturbs your peace, you need to hold back until you know that you know that you know. You know, Psalm 23 says this. I mean, it's a very, but it just become more meaningful to me in this whole thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I want you to know, a sheep lying down in green, it's a dangerous place to be, you know. He made me lie down. He said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. He leads me beside still waters. That's that peace right there. That's the kingdom. He restores my soul. Amen. And later it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemy. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let me go and touch on something that you really need to hear. Here you are, born again. And really, you probably, in this world, feel like an alien. I really do. I told my brother, so you want to talk to a real alien? You speak it.
I did not. But the Lord kept prompting me to. Now, I'm glad that I did, because there was some consequences that occurred. Eventually, the individual got right. So, you know, it's very important that you take the truths that you know, operate in them, get more truth as it comes to you, because there's always something to learn. I feel like I just scratched the surface, man. I don't know how you feel. You feel that way about, like, there's so much to know about the Lord, especially when you start meditating on what we're going to be doing when we pass on. Amen? My sister has been giving you a word of encouragement, you know. I see a, the spirit of fear that attacks your tongues. Not something that's in you, it's just something that harasses you. Yes. Mm-hmm. I just see that the spirit of fear is harassing. It's a harassing thing. It's not something that's necessarily inside of you. Okay? And the spirit of fear comes in different ways. What it does is, like, when you look at a situation or something happens, it's rather than sit there and assimilating, you know, correctly, where it becomes kind of a hindrance to us. In other words, it's almost like a form of worry. And it's something that I believe the Lord is going to be protecting you from. You know, it's how we perceive situations, you know. My mother, I'm not calling you my mother. It's like, my mom, she just worries about everything, you know. She goes, is it raining tonight? Well, don't come up here if it's raining. I can drive for the rain, Mom. You know, but she gets, you know, for whatever reason, rain equates to me not being able to travel, you know. It doesn't make any sense, but there's something that pops in your head. I see something, these things that pop in your head at times to try to get you to worry or to doubt. And the Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you in this area. You're going to become very much aware of a spirit of fear. What I mean by that is you're going to be sensitized to it. When you walk out of this door, you're going to know, oh, that's what he was talking about. That thought that I had, that's not encouraging. That's not strengthening. That's something else. And you're going to block it. And then you're going to block this. And pretty soon, you're going to realize that, hey, I never realized I was entertaining this. You aren't the only one in here, by the way. Okay? There are many in this room right now that I'm talking to. You know, it's like before, when I went to Las Vegas, we were going there for a trade show, right? The business that my wife has. And prior to going, you know, you hear all this information how the economy's not going good. It's not going to be a big show. Not many people are going to come. I mean, these are the kind of things that try to come at you and as you're going in and you want to have a successful show. Well, I have a choice whether to entertain that or to block it. And if I block it, you know, it's why I'm not going to take it. That's one way. I can, you know, block it and then attack it. But yeah, well, we're going to have a good show in the name of Jesus Christ. Guess what? I'm the blessed of the Lord. His hand is on us. It's his desire of anything. I could not prosper. You know what I mean? I block it and attack it. I block it and attack it. But if I don't attack it, I'm just going to continue to be doing blocks. Holy Spirit is training you to block and attack. And it's going to help you in your ministry because I see an intercessor inside of you that hits the target every time. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you specifics on how to pray over an individual. I don't know if it's your family or what it is, but I see an individual that is lost. And this individual is in your target. He's in your sights. He's been marked in a good way. And the Lord's trying to tell you today that he's going to do the very thing that you asked him to do. And you're going to walk out here with a security and understanding, knowing that God truly is going to do that. Because I don't know you guys. You know, but I just want to give you that word of encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I hear the word of wisdom in you, brother. It keeps coming up in my spirit. And wisdom, the word of wisdom that operates through you is practical application of the word of God. You can actually, the Lord is going to be moving, if he already hasn't, through dreams in your life. But you're going to know how to apply the information, just like Peter. Now, Peter didn't know how to apply it because it kind of happened in front of him, you know, and he's going to say, that's what God was talking to me about. You know, it's going to be poured out. But you're going to have an application of a dream. For example, like Joseph had a dream, hey, go to Egypt because, you know, Herod's after the child. Gets up and he goes and he obeys. You're going to start to have that experience. And it says old men dream dreams, young men see visions. So now you move from visions down to dreams. You've got a little bit older. So now you're dreaming, you know. But I just want to encourage you in that because these dreams are going to be rapid fire. You know, if you're like, yeah, I'm in a season of dreams. I can see it coming out of your spirit. I'm in a season of dreams. And every night, I'm going to have another dream, another dream. And some of these are from the Lord and some of the others are from pizza. But either way, when they come to you, you've got to write them down. You've got to have some way of remembering them.
Amen.
And there's going to be application of those dreams. Because you are a man in transition. You're in transition. And God is opening up new doors to you. New avenues. Things, even, I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know if you're tired or whatever. But you know, even in that arena, it's like your work is even going to change to a degree. And you got expert in one area, but God is now saying, I'm going to make you an expert over here. You're going to take what you learned here, you're going to apply it over here, and God's going to breathe on it. And it's just going to go over there. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where is it? It's going to be here somewhere. Oh, back there. If you're hiding back there, I see you. She gets a word every week, so I'm just going to have to hold. I'll hold it. Okay? I'll get you next week. Thanks, God. That's so good. So be encouraged, okay? I just want to give you encouragement, okay? Just be encouraged, okay? It might seem like it's going slow, but there is progress. And God's going to accelerate, okay? Just allow Him. This is the kind of like word I gave out today, to those that wait upon the Lord, you know, shall renew their strength. And being connected to God is like being that little cord. It's like your life is intertwined with His. That's why you can say that He's your strength. He's got you to this point. It's like you're like that storybook where the engine that said it could, you know, it's like, I think I can. It gets up, it's about over the hill. And you're going to get over that hill, and you're going to see the promises of God being fulfilled one after another after another. I know it's been a war. I know it's taken a lot of endurance and you're just really fatigued, but God has strengthened you tonight to go that extra mile. And that breakthrough is just on the other side. So just be encouraged. Jesus. You have a sister? You have a sister? You don't. I'm sure you do. It might be, but I'm just going to say what I'm hearing. I see a sister that's close to you. This individual is, it's like a type of depression that hits them. I mean, it actually paralyzes them. They can't really do anything. And it's not known. And you're going to minister to them. So I just want to encourage you. God's going to show you specifically who this is. You're going to know. And that word of release, that word of strength, that's really a word of knowledge from me to you to them. That word of knowledge is going to open up the door to really bring some serious ministry to this individual's life. So it's being very secretive. They're almost like a cat. You know, cats, supposedly they don't feel good. They go off and alone and die or something like that. So I'm not, but this individual is like that. You would not know if it wasn't the Spirit of God that showed you. So just be aware of that. Praise God. That was so good. Well, Patty, got anything? Okay.
Kind of a different world. I just felt like that there are people here that have things that you need to shake off. Literally just shake it off. You've come a distance, but it's like God saying, shake it off. And I don't know who you are, but every one of us have something in our life that we need to let go of and get behind us and shake it off. So a very simple word, but if you have something you need to shake off, would you stand up and just shake your hands like this and shake it off? And there's got to be more than this, because all of us have something we need to shake off. Just shake it off. 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 God says that He orders the steps of the righteous. He's going to order our steps and that which has been holding us back. And there are little things that hold us back. We don't think they do, but they do. It could be a thought wave. It could be something we've said. It could be the way we've walked. But you need to shake it off and keep it behind you. And Doug, I feel like you're going to be in a situation and you're going to have a word of the Lord for a person that you're going to come in contact with, and you're going to kind of sit on it and kind of feel like, hey, I'm supposed to say something to Him. And I feel like that God's going to give you such a word of deliverance for Him and relief for Him that His whole business is going to turn around.
This is a prophecy?
Yes.
To an individual?
No. She said it was for
lots of people. Well, I'm just asking. So it's prophecy. It's prophecy.
Only it's a warning. Okay.
recall when you were a kid and there was a teeter-totter, a seesaw. And when you were a kid, you would let it go this way and you'd start on this end and then you'd kind of move to the middle and you would balance it, right? And you remember how if you don't balance it just right, you're gonna go that way or you're gonna go that way. You remember that, okay? Some people here now, and I don't know who God is, not identifying those people, but people are approaching something sinful, something wrong, something that's going around in their head that seems like it's not that bad, maybe. And so they're starting to try to balance, and they get to the middle, okay? And I just want to remind you that if you're in that middle place, this way is not going to be easy. Okay. Much better off to be wise and say, okay, enough, enough.
I don't know if you've written a training thing for what you do. But I keep hearing that word in my spirit. Write a training manual. In doing that, it's gonna be a parallel. You know, into a walk with Christian. And you're gonna see a distinct parallel because the Lord has actually taught you many times through what you do for a living about the things of God. In fact, even the things you do in the name of the gifts of the Spirit of individuals, God actually taught you through what you do for a living. And this is going to become very, you're going to become very aware of that. Because see, it's like I became at the point where my job, where I literally listened before I spoke in a coaching situation, because I wanted what I had to say to count. And you know, working with in the arena too, that the commands that you give, the training, it's through repetition. It's through being consistent. And these two things of repetition and consistency are something that you know about that others do not, and you've dug deeper in it than you realize. And you don't realize, and God's going to bring the understanding of that, how that applies, that you can actually teach other Christians about this. There's a teaching ministry that's always been in you. You've always been doing it. But now the Lord is saying, I'm establishing a platform for you to actually release it. Because I see it's like snippets here, snippets there, snippets here. But it's almost like the Lord is promoting you into a different arena now. And there's, you know, that's why this transition in your heart is taking place. We actually were talking about that earlier. The transition inside of you is taking place. And it's rooted in love. And so just know that it's actually the love that's unlocked the door for this, you know, and brought you this place. Because, it, you know, sometimes, and I don't know if you ever thought this before, but a lot of times people think, man, train has passed me by. It opened, I should have got on the train at that point. I didn't do it. And just kept going. You didn't miss the train. It's now stopped. Okay, you're eager to get on, and that eagerness is a prompting of the Holy Spirit, maneuvering and manipulating you by His power. And he's manipulating and leading you, okay, by His power into something greater than you've ever been before, because you desire. You see, when you have a desire like that, that's a communication to the Holy Spirit, and He hears all the time. You may not articulate it. You know what it is? It's something actually is placed within you. It's almost like Him talking to Him. That's the only way I can explain it. But it's inside you and you know it. It's been bubbling for years. It kind of settled down, but now God says, I'm going to activate you. And you're going to feel that activation. And just know this, that God's going to open. You're going to find people receptive to you that had never been receptive to you before. I like the way Nikki touched and said, Nikki said, I've got to put a blanket over somebody, you know? And when blank comes off, it's all like, oh, that's you. Yeah, come on. Can't wait. What was that 3 years ago? I've been sitting on this teaching for you. But see, there's a percolating. There's always a refinement with the Holy Spirit. There's always a timing in God when the point we just don't even want it. It's like he kills something inside of us that where it could hurt us. And once that's dead, boom, he opens up the door. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But it just seems the way it's been for me. But allow that to be judged in Jesus' name. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being here tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to minister concerning this word on false knowledge or the idol of false knowledge. Father, I ask you to fill everybody up here tonight, overflowing the Holy Spirit. Bless them, Lord, and release Psalm 91 over their lives. And we thank you for this tonight and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need ministry or healing or anything like that, we'll stay here to minister.
I was charging my phone so I could record that. How quick could I get that?
Probably.
I was telling my mom about Sunday morning.
Paul, what's she?
She'd be 92 next month. That should have been 93 next month.
Thank God she lived that long. I mean, that's incredible. Most of your life, Lewis. You got most of your life with your mom, and that's you really wonderful. That's a blessing.
Lewis?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, brother.
Well, those things, like if you know about somebody that talks, but you don't know the date, is it where you can find out or no?
On the website, it shows like Anna have her name.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was in what, June? Was the last week.
He said it was around last 4th.
You're right. It was the last Thursday. Right. It was the first Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. She's on there.
Well, thanks.
All right, brother. God bless you.
Good to see you.
Pretty beneficial to everybody in here to a degree or another, and depending on how you hear it and what you do about it, is all your own. This off because I've got the handheld. I don't want to get feedback here. Am I good? Not feedback. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Daniel real quick. We're going to start in Daniel, and but like I said, I really feel that this is something that you need to take to heart, to really check yourself out. You know, the Bible talks about whoever cleanses himself becomes this vessel of honor. And we do a lot of that. We do a lot of cleansing ourselves. We've changed over the years. I don't know about you, but if you look back 10 years and see how much you've really changed, you know, in the last 10 years, and what you know now and what you didn't know back then. You know, I took a little trip home recently, and I was thinking as I was in different places of the way I used to think, the way I used to believe. I mean, just the very things that were going on inside of my head. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, you know, I've really made some changes in my life, and I need to make some more. But in Daniel, in this event of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he made this image of himself, or was an idol he made, he fashioned it, he created it, and he decided, he wanted everybody to bow to it, and we know the story that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow to it. And they weren't going to bow to this idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And so, you know, they answer him. They said, now, if you're ready when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, dulcimer, is that an instrument, or bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, very good. But if you will not worship, you shall be cast once in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who can deliver you out of my hands? And I've been sharing this recently, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, it is not necessary for us to answer you on this point. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image or idol which you have set up. So basically, make a declaration. They're not going to serve this idol. They're not going to do it. And their lives are on the line, and they cleverly answer. This answer they give is really a real word of faith. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. That's not even a problem. But if he doesn't, just let me know. We're not going to bow to you. So, you know, you and I face situations like that in our life a lot. But this idol thing is something, you know, that I want to kind of tag into, because really Lewis mentioned, kind of was in the beginning, I thought he was going to get into my message here, but he didn't. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, let's look that up real quick. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 18, that's page 1350. It says, and the Lord answered me and said, write Habakkuk 2, verse 18. Sorry, I'm in the wrong scripture. What profit is a graven image when its maker has formed it? It is only a molten image and a teacher of lies. An image is a teacher of lies. Something that's an idol is a lie. It's a teacher of lies. I want you to hear this. An idol is a teacher of lies, okay? And we know that we're not supposed to have. God got pretty upset about the Israelites having idols, did he not? I mean, he really did. So an idol is a teacher of lies, is what it is. It says, for the maker trusts in his own creation as his gods when he makes dumb idols. Woe to him who says to the wooden image, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, teach, yet it cannot, for behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. And Habakkuk basically is like all the other prophets did. They came real hard against these idol worship. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, verse 14, says, therefore, my dearly beloved, shun, keep clear away from, avoid by flight if need be, any sort of idolatry, any kind of an idol, of loving or venerating anything more than God. Now, that's very important because, you know, we've all came to that conclusion. You know, we probably have invested in different things as you walk through life. You know, if you have this, if you have that, you know, it makes you, it'll give you peace, it gives you, it doesn't. And you come down to this, the same conclusion we all do, that God doesn't want us to have anything, hold on to anything here. He only wants us to hold on to him, because anything here is temporal. It's subject to change. So if you invest in anything that's here and you make it an idol or something in your life, when it gets moved or taken away from you or whatever, you lose your peace, you lose your joy, because it was in some ways your God. And so it's very important. And that's one of the things that that you'll find about the Holy Spirit when he's training you, is he's training you to do that exact thing, to not have anything invested here, but he had everything invested in heaven or in the kingdom of God. We have to have everything over to there. That is our life. That is the way we move. That's the way our being. That's our peace, as Lewis just talked about. So very, very important. One more scripture just to point out in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 21, the very last thing he says, little children, keep yourself from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God, from any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Okay? So these are very direct to us. And we all, there's no one in here that would disagree with that. And we know that. Okay? We really do. But I want to talk to you about an idol that may still be in your life, okay? And it's not something that you're probably even aware of. This is why this is something that you've got to do a check. You have to go before the Holy Spirit and get before him and ask him this. This is the idol of false knowledge. the idol of false knowledge. Now, Lewis Kyle led off with it with his brother having a false knowledge of aliens, okay, that ended up becoming a sort of an idol in his life, and hopefully he's set free from it. And now, since we've met the real alien, we know that, amen. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, because he was into all that stuff, it became kind of an idol. Well, if you look in our world right now, what is the thirst? What is the objective when you get up in the morning, you go to the bathroom, you turn that phone on, or whatever you're doing? You're constantly absorbing knowledge, information. We call it information overload. And we're living in a society and a generation where that is becoming so fast and so hard that we even have AI now that can teach us, give us the whole entire education that we've had up until now, it just by our finger. And we naturally, because we're naturally want to have more knowledge. There isn't any person on the earth that's not seeking that. And so because of that, we have the enemy flooding the zone with all kinds of knowledge. Well, you know, there really isn't just a male and female. There's actually more than that. Because we humans have evolved into a more superior intellect, and now we know that there are many, many genders. We only thought there were two, but now we know, because we know now. There are 107. He said 70. There's actually 107. You didn't know that. I do, because they've added a few. You know, oh, well, then, see, there probably is. Okay, now I could go on and make up all kinds of stuff, because we're not talking about the alien life that hasn't been discovered yet, and then what genders are they? You see, we could go on and on and on in this foolishness. But what it is an idol. And that false information, that false idol, is keeping back the glory of God from coming and manifesting in your life, if you've got it. And I'm going to point it out. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out to you, because it's been pointed out to me. I have to sit there and get before the Lord, as everybody else is, and expose myself, because he exposed everything. So, Lord, is there anything that I've got that I've learned through a person or a book I read or anything? Is there anything in me that needs to be removed that's keeping you back from me or me to you or whatever it might be? Have I made it out to be some type of an idol? And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just kind of go. Much of our Christian experience is based upon the assimilation and digestion of knowledge. When we first came to Christ, our attention was just mainly to be devoted to having our needs met in a lot of situations. Unfortunately, our spiritual powers of discernment are underdeveloped, and we often take in false knowledge about God, about Christianity. That false knowledge can inhibit and can actually prevent growth. Case in point, and Lewis brought this out, about just about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I found a book back there written by Billy Graham, and I immediately moved to the page about the Holy Spirit, because I knew he was somewhat conflicted in that area, and the way that he laid it out just kind of watered it down just a little bit. Now, God was a great guy, did a lot of work, but he was held back to where he could have been because of that one issue. But not only that, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of people listening to this guy out of his mouth about the Holy Spirit. You see the responsibility that you and I have now of what we share? Would we want to be in front of millions of people and share false knowledge about God that would keep them back from the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And just because someone has a great microphone and can reach all kinds of people doesn't make them right. Just because I get up here and do it doesn't make me right. That's why we have to really be students of our word and really check out what's being said, from prophecy to you name it. It needs to be all tested. We need to be under that kind of critiquing, because it's important that we strive to bring truth, to be good students. The scriptures talk about, it says how do we to show ourselves a study to prove unto God. And so when we recognize that the knowledge that we give out about God is so important. Now, part of that knowledge that you share with other people comes through your relationship with Jesus. And you can talk about the relationship you have with him. And you can't fake that stuff. You can't fake... somebody that has been in the presence of God and has a relationship with, it cannot be faked. That makes you authentic. And you want to be authentic. You don't want to be someone that just has a knowledge about Jesus. You want to be someone that has a relationship with Jesus. Instead of maturing in the Lord, we get indoctrinated into concepts of our first teachers, and not all of those concepts are biblical. There are Christians that have an image of God that are untrue, which the Holy Spirit would remove it if they let him. You see, if you have that attitude, I've come and I have arrived, I know all of it, you know, and no one really probably thinks that way in here. But there's nothing wrong with getting before the Holy Spirit and say, hey, is there some things you got to remove that I know about you that are maybe not true? Maybe I've heard some kind of a, you know, for example, my first time really experienced when I stepped out of my church and I knew I was called in the ministry and I had an invitation to go to a church in town. It was actually off number one there. This lady had bought this church from Augusta, Georgia. She's in her 80s, had a ministry. And she had church up there in Augusta, a big, huge church with praying hands. It was a gorgeous facility. And she had bought this church down here. And I don't even know how she heard of me, because I wasn't like I was on the circuit or anything. But somehow, she invited me over there, and I ministered, and she liked it and whatever. She said, I want you to pastor, not pastor the church. She was a pastor, but I want you to teach every Sunday here. And I said, this is great, because I need to get some experience. I need to practice. You know, I'm an athlete. I'm practicing on people, you know, and sharing my truth. And so the thing is, but the problem is that she and the people that were around her, the believers, they had a messed up doctrine, and they believed that by faith they could actually stay in their bodies and not leave. I mean, you know, it was just strange. I didn't know it. I had no idea. I mean, they looked normal to me, normal people. And so, you know, I'm here Sunday morning in town, and then I go up to Augusta that evening, first time in the church. And I moved around prophetically over people and stuff like that, and it seemed to be accurate. People were really blessed. And then I had a message, and my message was, your life is a wisp of vapor. You're here and you're gone. Well, they didn't believe that. I mean, it literally was like, if anything could have punched them in the face, it was that word I brought, because the way the Lord moves, he came out with a demonstration right away, ministering over people prophetically, and then the people, you know, were known that it was the Lord or whatever, witnessed to them, and all of a sudden now they get punched right in the face with what they're believing. And not only that, I prophesy over Sister Matthews that she's going to hear utterances that men aren't allowed to hear. Where's that going to happen? That's going to be in heaven, which is that's where she's heading, and that's where she went in 3 months. Wow. And is still preaching that message at her funeral. About it could keep me in my seat not to go up there and punch the guy that was preaching. Because now, just because Sister Matthews died doesn't mean... I mean, you know, it doesn't get any worse than that. But the point is, they had an idol. They had a false knowledge that impacted probably a lot of people that I don't even know about. There are Christians that have an image of God that are untrue, which the Holy Spirit would remove it if they let him. These can be cultural and doctrinal traditions that have been ingrained in their minds. If you really check yourself out, there were some things in your life and in my life were out of balance when we got into the things of God and into the move of God and into a lot of meetings that we attended over the years, and we participated in a lot of things, you know, that were probably of God, and maybe some of it wasn't of God. You know, I can remember being pushed down, you know, where people, you know, getting in line and people pushing me down. And I remember just like, okay, I'm ready. push me down now. You're being rebellious, you know, and then you do a courtesy fall just so the guy doesn't, you know, call you out in front of everybody. You know, there's all kinds of religious gymnastics going on, and then you got the real thing. I've gone to some meetings where people were waving their hands and everybody falls down. I'm standing up, the only one in the crowd standing up. God, did you leave me alone? I mean, you know, I mean, I question things. We should question things because, you know, because we so much want to encounter the presence and the power of God and all that stuff. Sometimes we check our brain at the door and we just accept it. Not everything that's done out there is God. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow false knowledge or false understanding to creep into our lives so that we only identify certain things as God is there. Because Jesus came to his disciples on the road to Emmaus in a form they could not recognize. He came in a new form. And yet it was him preaching him. It doesn't get any more anointed than that. And yet they didn't even know it was him until they broke bread. Christ's life is filtered and proportionally diminished by the number of these wrong images existing in the believer, an individual, a church, or even a nation that superimposes their likeness upon their concepts of God. Christ's life is filtered and proportionally diminished by the number of wrong images existing in the believer. Christ's life is filtered and proportionally diminished by the number of these wrong images existing in the believer. And if you really look at it, when you got changed by a lot of these things that got thrown out, maybe you had a concept of God and you learned and you studied and all of a sudden you understand more and that other thing got thrown out, you know? I mean, just having balance and not getting too far over here and too far over there. I mean, there's so many things I think that I can't even begin to count all the things that God had to do with me. Because I was said so much zeal of God, you know, but no knowledge. You can have a lot of zeal for God and no knowledge. Peoples and nations, poor and rich, suppose that the Almighty Creator exists and thinks as they do. They are not serving God, but the image that they have of Him. So this idol of false knowledge, and we talked, it was mentioned here tonight about unity in the church, and we're all part of the same kingdom, but why is there division among us? There's division because of this idol of false knowledge. People's concept of God that don't line up with these other people's concepts of God, and then rather than coming all together and let's find out the truth, we separate ourselves and we gravitate towards what we think is true worship, the way we want to worship. Even when people go shopping for churches, sometimes they're led of the Holy Spirit, but sometimes they're shopping. Well, what's the worship like? What do they believe here? Well, they don't believe in that. Well, I don't know. I don't believe that. And we end up limiting ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I come across people who are stuck in churches that the ceiling only goes this high. Because they don't want to either expose the body to more knowledge, or they don't have the knowledge, or they don't have the experience, or whatever it might is. And so they keep everybody down here. They want to keep the collection of the church and what's going on in the church and elevate the church. And, you know, where do you go? Where I go over here? And, you know, things are happening over here. And they worship the church. They don't worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is not Greek, Jew, or Caucasian, or black, or Catholic, or Protestant. He is God. And as the psalmist states in Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. We cannot make God think like an American. It's so true, though. We try to, and it's hard not to do because of we live in this culture. But, you know, how many times you've been taught like the Jewish, the way the Jew thought back then, and what were they really thinking? What was their mindset? And when Jesus was teaching, the Jew understood because of the culture. And so we've had to learn that, you know what I'm saying? But we always try to put them in a box, and God will not go in that box. He's God, and he does whatever he's pleased with. Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord of the church. He's Lord of the universe. He's all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him, and he is God. We need to realize the consequences of harboring an idol. And that's laid out in Psalm 115, verse 8, says, those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. In Matthew 24, Jesus kind of lays this out. Matthew 24, verse 4. Says Jesus answered them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, leading you into error. For many will come on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. Not a few, many. Verse 24 says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders so as deceive and lead astray, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen one. And verse 14 says, and this good news of the gospel, the kingdom, of the gospel of the kingdom, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And that in this verse, you know, Jesus is given this prophetic layout of all this deception, all the things are going to happen in this particular scripture. But in the midst of all that, he says this, he makes that statement about the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel needs to be underlined. This gospel needs to be underlined. The gospel that Jesus taught with power to heal, with power to deliver people, to make people holy, will be proclaimed as a testimony. And then the end will come. And so all this deception is occurring. But while all this deception is occurring, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached at the same time. So that's why we're seeing such an influx and such an upkick in false knowledge. It's getting to the point to where anything you're going to see, even on a screen, will have to be judged because of the amount of knowledge that's being put in. See, all AI is a collection of knowledge, of human knowledge, even of understanding of things of God. It's all in there. Some of it's all messed up. I've looked into some things, and some of it is actually right. I mean, it's a collection of knowledge. That's all that it is. But what's so great, it's human knowledge and interpretation, and some of the interpretation is good, and some of it isn't. So that requires a filter to be able, you've got to put up and knowing what's right and what's not right. What are you going to believe and what you aren't going to believe? And what needs to come down, or what beliefs I might have or you might have that need to come down, that become an idol in our lives unknowingly, but yet it's keeping us back from becoming who we are in Him. And so God wants to bring those things down. But if you never check yourself out, if you never ever go before the Lord and say, Lord, will you help me out with this? It's never going to happen to you. You need to ask Him that. I'm asking you as a teacher, as someone who cares about you, to go in your prayer closet and ask the Lord to remove whatever's there that's false or to point it out to you. You know, because there's nothing more disappointing than believing something from God and then it doesn't happen because you weren't believing correctly. And a lot of people walk away from the Lord, have walked away from God because of certain things that didn't happen. They believed, they found out weren't true because they had a belief in something that was false. The gospel that Jesus taught with the power to heal, deliver, make people holy will be acclaimed as testimony to the ends of the earth. In verse 35, it says, sky and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus said that. Now, Jesus knew that his elect would never compromise his message. He knew that. He knew that they may compromise, but he said they won't compromise his message. And while there is a proliferation of false teachings, deception, lying, signs and wonders, pseudo-anointings multiplied on the earth, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached and proclaimed as a witness about his return. So these things are simultaneously going on right now. You and I are the ones that are going to proclaim that message, though. We're going to be faithful to that message about the gospel of the kingdom. Very, very important. According to Jesus, now, what is the gospel of the kingdom? It's the whole message of Jesus Christ. It's more demanding, more fulfilling, more holy, and more powerful than the gospel of the typical American Christianity. It just is. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is not, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to tell you that it's time to get completely serious and to just let go of whatever is holding you and I back. And I think some of the stuff that's holding us back is false knowledge. I really believe that. Because I have found out when I've really dug into Scripture about some things that I, you know, would just quote so readily and think that it was just God, turned out to not be God or wasn't exactly the way that I was quoting it. And I had to correct myself. You know, I rarely listen to what I do. I have to listen to the Word of the Week because I have to play it to download or whatever. So I have to listen to myself. It's hard sometimes. You know, sometimes I have to hit delete. Or I don't like it. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit lets me do that in one take, and I'm thankful for that because anybody that's in a video here and you're sitting, you didn't like it, you keep doing it over and over and over again. It's rare for me to have that happen to me. It has happened though, and I can't stand it. But it, you know, I want to make sure that I'm relying, or I'm you know, giving out truth to people, that I'm not, you know, maligning the truth in any way. Sure, I would feel so bad if I brought something to you that you walked out of here and believed it was false. I would feel terrible about that. So we try to do our best, and I'm not saying there have been things that have been said here I don't agree with. You know, I don't go pointing all of it out, but we have a lot of different guest speakers, a lot of people talk, different things like that. I count on you to be able to filter and to judge what's being said. It's important. It really is. And if I say anything and you get your Scripture and find out it's not true and you bring it to me, I'll admit it, I'll say it, and I'll correct it. Okay, it's not a problem. I have no dog in the fight of pride. I have no dog in that fight. You know, if you've got any pride, believe me, the Holy Spirit will weed that out of you. He will put you in situations where it will get weeded out because he will resist you. You know, he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so it's very important that even when it comes to the things of God, that we don't get puffed up. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It is the whole message of Jesus Christ. It's more demanding, more fulfilling, more holy, and more powerful than the gospel of the typical American Christianity. According to Jesus, when anyone finds the kingdom of God, Matthew 13:44, from joy over it, he goes and sells all. Once it's found, it must be sought first. It is such a priceless treasure that one should suffer loss of a hand or of an eye than lose the kingdom. And that's what Jesus said. We'll back, let's go to Matthew 6, verse 33. Just read that real quick. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Now, what is he talking about? Some of the things that the Gentiles seek after. In other words, he's talking about what the world really goes after. And we're to seek the kingdom first. He knows that we have needs of things. Sometimes I think we go to God and ask like he's just, you know, up there just not paying attention to anything that we're doing. He knows exactly what you're doing. And when you get into his presence and you get before him in prayer, I mean, it's like it's not really a conversation. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. He even knows the thoughts that I have. He knows everything I'm thinking. And he's holy. I mean, you got to understand how Isaiah felt when he was in the presence of God. He was ruined. He was undone. But after that coal touched him, now all of a sudden, he's not ruined and undone. Now he wants to volunteer. And that's just the way that it is. We get before God and he cleans us up in his presence in that holy fire to get us to the place where we want to volunteer and we want to let go of everything and just serve him. It's an attitude in the heart. It's a decision that's in the heart. You know, when you talk about leaving everything, you're leaving the world behind. And you're embracing the fact that you're a child of God. You're here for a reason. You've got a mission, and you're to accomplish it. And you need to find out what that is. And that's where we come in and help. You get the teachers around you. People help to help you find your way. But at the end of the day, you want to compile the accurate, true knowledge of God, because that's what it talks about in Ephesians, that the fivefold would have a ministry to equip the saints to bring about full maturity, so that the proper position of each individual part would cause the growth of the body or the proper function of each individual part. So we have a commitment here to bring proper functioning in your ministry through equipping you with the Word of God, that you can leave here and operate in a true and accurate knowledge of God, that you might see the manifestation of the power of God move through you, that so when you pray for somebody or you declare something over somebody, that the Holy Spirit is with you working, confirming the words that is in a true message from God, and you get a demonstration of his Spirit. And you know, it's funny to me that some people don't want a demonstration of his Spirit. Well, I just like moving and prophecy. I don't really have the gift of healing, or I really don't have the gift of faith, or I don't really have. You have whatever the Holy Spirit chooses to give you. And if you continue to limit yourself, you're going to be limited. You won't have it. You won't move in prophecy. You won't move in healing. And you'll never see a miracle. If you want to limit him, it's up to him what he wants to make me into. The clay does not say to the potter, I don't like the way you're making me. Why did you make me a male? I want to be a female. I don't like the way you made me. And you know what? I'm a female. No matter what you made me or how you put my plumbing in here, I'm a female. Well, good luck for that. How's that working out for you? Now, I mean, I don't have any problem with somebody wanting to be something else like that. I have compassion for them. They're deceived. Because they've heard in their mind, in their head, in their spirit for years that they're not who they are. And where did that come from? Right out of the pit of hell with the ideology of false knowledge. And that's the truth. Does that mean I'm going to shun somebody that has that problem and just throw them as trash to the side? And because they're deceived? Yeah, they're deceived in that area. But we got Christians over here that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that think Jesus doesn't heal today. Now, who's worse off? They both are worse off. So, I mean, we have an obligation to minister and to love people. If they ask me, well, do you think this is, then I'll tell them what I think. They may hate me for that, but I don't have to not love them. To love people is not even a question. There are some sins that go before a person that people all see, and there's some that people don't know about. That's going on behind the veil, behind the curtain. So why am I going to put, am I going to get on that person because I see their sin? No, I'm going to have compassion for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to minister them. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to endure it. But I'm not going to take their false knowledge. I'm not going to sit there and change the way I believe to make them feel comfortable, because now I'm denying the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them, not mine. That's what he's very good at it. He's excellent. Have you ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit? According to Jesus, anyone that finds the kingdom of God from joy over it, he goes and sells all. And once he found it, once it's found, it must be sought first, as I just read. In the other scripture, in Mark 9, verse 9, verse 47, and if your eye causes you to stumble in sin, pluck it out. It is more profitable and wholesome for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. I mean, do you see the commitment here, what he's talking about, what he's saying? So the gospel of the kingdom has a power in it that when people that walk in it and experience it, when you get around those kinds of people, you want to just go follow them, you know, and as they follow the Lord. I mean, not totally abandon, you know, I'm going to follow this guy. No, it's just that because they are that way, that they've left the world behind, they totally have submerged, and they're carrying out their mission. I've had the privilege of getting around a few men like that in my life and women in my life like that. And those people, I mean, just, you know, Peter Van Niekerk was one of them. When he came here to Columbia some years back and I heard him minister, I knew that the wisdom that was coming out of him, it came from the Lord. There's no way a man could have even said or did what he did. And I wanted to understand that. I wanted to get to know. I was drawn to him because of the fact that what he was putting out was the knowledge of God. But I also knew that he was authentic. And then I got the opportunity to go to actually South Africa and see how he actually operates. And then I got to see how other people responded to him. We would go places. We went to a Christian concert. And at the end of the concert, I didn't realize, but, you know, Peter had married a guy that was doing the concert. So we got backstage passes. And then these two guys come up to him and say, and were touched by some ministry that he did some years ago, came up to him. And I'm seeing the demonstration of a man that gave his life to God and how he impacted all these people. The guy that's doing the concert and talking about God to these two people were random, just came to come up and I experienced that. So I'm here around a guy that has given up his life to go follow God. That's the kind of commitment. That's what the gospel of the kingdom does to you and to me. And that's really why you're here. People that come out on a Thursday night and stay here till 9:10, listen to me talk, have got to be serious about God. You know? And I wanted to stop at 9 o'clock tonight. So let me finish up. I just have one more statement. If we're listening to something that does not center us firmly upon the path of God's kingdom, if we're not becoming like Jesus in holiness and power, we are being misled. That misleading knowledge is an idol and it must come down. That's all I'm saying to you tonight. Just check it out. I'm not putting you down. I'm going to do the same thing tonight. Is there anything, you know, there, Lord, that's filtering out something I need to know? Very, very important. Very, very important. My brother here, you've been encouraging me the whole time and sitting there so patiently, and you're tired, and yet you're listening. That's good. I like that. My good-looking guy with gray hair there. Yeah. See, you know who you are. I like that. That's right. I am good-looking. You are a good-looking guy. Now, don't take that the wrong way, but I'm just saying, I just want to give you encouragement. You know, as I look for you, the word faithful comes up in my spirit. You're a faithful man. You've been overlooked. I see you in the spirit. I see you in the work place where you've been overlooked, but you were faithful. You will work a job. You give 1,000% because you're doing it under the Lord. You know, you've learned that in your life, to just do the job. You know, God will take care of me. But you've been overlooked. But I want to tell you, God did not overlook you. And the Lord is going to visit you. He's going to bring some blessings upon you, brother. And what are the blessings of God? When we're at complete peace, you know, there's not any money can buy that. And there's something about you that you performed something or did something where the hand of God is now going to move on your behalf. It's time for payday for you. What's your name? Robert? Ron. Ron, it's your paydays coming up, okay? I don't know what that's going to take for him. I'm not going to prophesy money over you. I'm not going to do foolishness like that. But the blessings of God, the treasures of Christ Jesus, are going to be released into your life in a greater dimension. There's a hunger that is going to be stimulated. You know, there's certain foods and certain things that you can eat and stuff like that that stimulate hunger. The Holy Spirit is going to stimulate your hunger for Him in a new, fresh way. It's like a revival is going to take place in your life. You've already been seeking God, but not like you're going to be seeking Him, because there's going to be a determination to sprint towards the end. Now, you and I are older. You know, I'm in my 60s. You're probably in your 50s. I don't know. I can't tell how old you are, okay? But you look like you look younger than me, maybe. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But you look younger anyway. So I can say how I think you look. But I'm saying that there's going to be a sprint to the finish. It's like, you know, I'll never forget, I got stuck on these horses one day. It was years ago when I was in high school, and we were going to go horseback riding with my girlfriend's friend that really wanted to date her, but I didn't know that, so he's trying to take me out on a horse, I think. And so anyway, puts me on the horse. I had no idea these were race horses. I thought these were just like, you know, horseback. I got on that horse, man, and as soon as it hit the field, those horses took off. And I mean, it was all I could do to hang on to this thing because I was scared. I mean, I've never been so scared in my life, and I've never been gripped of anything, because I don't know how to ride a horse. You know, other people can ride just like nothing. I'm getting like bounced around, and you know, and thank God I was an athlete at the time, and I hung on, and I got to the end, and these horses took off and threw just a sheet of mud, you know, back to my girlfriend. She covered in mud, you know, but it was a race. And I'm saying this because I just sense in my spirit there's gonna be a race to the end. God's going to quicken up your pace. I don't know if you've ever preached a word in your life, but you are a preacher. You've got preacher in you. Now, what does a preacher do? Doesn't necessarily have to be a pulpit, but there are people you're preaching to. You're going to be preaching to people, man, one after another after another. God's going to set up platforms for you to preach. That's situations, man. The works prepared before in the foundation of the world that you might walk in them. Well, you're going to walk in them. They're going to walk into you, amen? And I see you ministering the gospel of the kingdom where people are going to get saved. And that one that has run, that one that has gotten so far away from God that it didn't look like there's any way back, that is going to be the one that God is going to recover. You want to watch God sovereignly bring somebody into this kingdom because they've run into a Holy Spirit wall of somebody that you have prayed for and God had moved His hand. Well, no, they're not going to go any further. It's like the prodigal son coming back. That's all I got to say. I want to encourage you in Jesus' name. God's hand is on you in a mighty way. Thank you, Jesus. Allow it to be judged. If it doesn't happen, you come back with some rocks and you can hit me. Amen. God is so good. Be encouraged. I just want you to be encouraged. God just wants to give you just a little bit of a lift today. He's completely aware of your life situations. And He knows you need endurance. He knows you need strength right now. And so it's just something that it's going to be imparted into your spirit. You know, Elijah, you know, after he cut off all the heads of all those prophets, and then he was afraid of Jezebel, but people don't really know Jezebel and everything that she had been doing, but he was being chased by that force. And I see a force that's been chasing you for some season now, and you're worn out, man. And you just don't know if you can continue. Well, I'm telling you, you can continue. God is here tonight to tell you that you will continue. You will follow through. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Those that are angered at you shall be shamed and dishonored. God says, I will bring a blessing upon your life and upon your family, and you shall see the restoration of my hand, because only I can bring about justice, says the Lord. Only I can bring about peace in situations. I am the Prince of Peace. And God says, I'm going to do a work inside of you that you have never seen ever could even be possible for, because you're going to see that I am the God that fulfills my promises. I love you. It's not your fault. It never was your fault. But yet you continue to blame yourself. God says, remove that off of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release the Holy Spirit is healing you tonight of all those emotions and all those things that you've piled up over a period of years. He's wiping your tears away and says, I am your God. I will sustain you and I will keep you. And you will walk with me in glory one day, says the Spirit of God, because that is where you're headed. You are headed right into something special, something to look forward to. You say, well, I have nothing for it. Yes, you got a lot to look forward to, because now God is going to open up your eyes. I don't know you. I've never met you. I just met you today. I have no idea what I'm even saying. But if it's the Lord, just know this. He cares that much that he decided to move me from Cincinnati, Ohio, down here to Columbia, South Carolina in 1982, that I might deliver this message to you personally, because it is his word and he will watch over his word to perform it. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. See, there's a shift going on in your prophetic. You know, you move prophetically, but there's a shift in it. It's going to go much deeper than it has before. And you've not been accepted, you know, mainly because you speak Chinese and everybody else is not speaking Chinese. But God's going to give you a language that they're going to understand. You know, there are people not... as I said to this other person who was sitting right there last week, you're going to take the church to them. They're not going to go to church. The people God sent, they're never going to put a foot in church. They don't like Christians because they've been around a bunch of phonies or people they perceive as phonies. But yet God sent you in their midst because you're different. You don't look like them guys at the Holy Rollers. You don't look like them. You look like one of us, you know. And yet they come to you with their problems. And yet they come to you with counsel. And yet they come to you because they know you hear something from God. There's something different about you. So there's a shift going to go on in your prophetic. Your prophetic is going to be a lot deeper, okay? Because it's going to have healing waters in it now. Not only will you bring a word, but that word will have healing in it. And it will restore. And I see something has been taken from you. I see it in the spirit. And it's been difficult. So the Lord is healing you tonight. Okay? You know, he can restore, okay? And he's going to restore. But first, he's going to release understanding so that you can understand. Because the biggest torment within your mind is actually that you don't understand. And so he's going to give that through revelation. As my brother's line, revelation is going to be give you understanding, and there's going to be a peace, and that thing is going to settle down inside of you, because you can't see how restoration could possibly occur, you know. And yet God was able to do it. I know it because he's done it for me. I have had things. I've had suffered loss. I've had things taken from me, but I also have seen the restoration of God, and he goes beyond what we can ask or even think, because that's how much he loves you. Amen. And just know this, you can't earn it anyway. Okay? You don't have to strive. He loves you just the way you are. He's aware of your idiosyncrasies. He is mine. Okay? And even though I tell him about him every day, he still loves me. Amen. And even though I tell him to change everything that I want him to change, okay? And even though change doesn't happen fast, I know that he will. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. How could he do that? Because he recognized how the only way in is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only the way we're getting in. And the enemy just tries to play with you sometimes. I see in this arena. So you just need some strength tonight. Amen. And God just given that to you in Jesus' name. Is that your son there? Yeah. Amen. I couldn't tell. What a blessing he is. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for my brother here, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Illuminate his mind in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. It's a peace of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's just filling you up right now to overflow the Holy Spirit. He's putting some things inside of you that you need for your journey, for your life, for this time, and for this season. And God's going to use you as a comforter. You're like a warm blanket on a cold night. And God's going to use you time and time again to help people out. And those arrows that would come at you, these are people, these are wicked people. I don't know what it is, but you know, you're not attracted wicked people. They're just wicked people around you because you've got a gift of God inside of you. You don't, might not, you may not be aware or even know of it, but you, the gift of God is inside of you. Mm-hmm. Amen? And that's why these arrows have come at times. But it's like, you know, the thing about it is you can't really care less about the arrows. And I wish people need to have that attitude, you know? You're an amazing man. An amazing man. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Who is that over here? Who is that, Lord? Where is he, Lord? Where? Oh, yeah. It's my sister over there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What's my sister's name here?
Angela.
Angela. What a beautiful name. Wow. Angel. Angela. Amen. Angela the angel. God is so good. Lord, I just release your Holy Spirit right now on Angela, Lord God. I thank you for bringing her here tonight, Lord. Giving her strength and a surety. And I just see the hand of God coming upon you, Angela. Yeah, my cousin's name is Angie. I don't know if they call you Angie. Yeah, but one of the things about her is her personality is so wonderful and so bright. And you can see that, and you're very similar to that, but the enemy has tried to dampen that by giving you a problem. But God is going to rise up within you. You're going to overcome this problem. Because he's going to put it in perspective. It's very important because the enemy always tries to make something bigger than it actually is. And so he's been lying to you. I break the power of that spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just release strength within your bones right now. And God would do a work deep within your heart, within your bones. And you would walk out of here healed in Jesus' name. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Praise you, Jesus. And there's another word that you had. You said something earlier that there was a person here that.
I was confirming. I just felt like somebody in here was maybe considering marriage, and I just felt like the Lord was just saying that you've been searching and looking for somebody. I don't know if that person, maybe it could just be dating someone, but choose wisely.
Right.
This world has a lot of people in it.
Amen. Choose wisely. Okay. That's you. Choose wisely. Amen. God is so good. Lord, we just thank you for staying here this long. Lord, I just thank you for the blessing that you've been here tonight, Lord God, and done such a tremendous work. The word of peace, Lord God, was so strong in this place. Father, I ask you to watch over each and each individual as they go home tonight. Release Psalm 91 over their lives. They should commission your war angels to surround and protect them. Father, that which is of you, I ask it would stay and remain, and that you would come and water that seed and bring increase, God. But Lord, if the enemy said here tonight, Lord, that is not of you, yes, you'd strike it from the record, from our hearts, from our memory, Lord God. Let your word prevail, Lord, and let it be the strength of our life. Father, I ask you to reveal now to us by your Holy Spirit with the light that you are, Lord God, that you'd shine on parts of our life where false knowledge had crept in or false understanding of who you are. Remove that from these that have come tonight, Lord God, and those that are not here tonight, Lord. Do a work in your body, and we thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. All right. That's fine.
Hey.
Can I say something into the mic real quick?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh. He did a bit.
Oh.
It wasn't even on. Okay. It wasn't even on.
Oh, I gotta tell you. This one, I got my son back, like you said. You said all I had to do is put it on the mantle, stop.
Uh-huh.
And you said it's trusting him, and that I was in the same kind of battle that I had done before, but I gave up, so I had to go through it again. That was my son.
Praise God.
And I put it on the mantle the next